you will, take your Bible, turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, Jesus said, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Notice the two words, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I dealt last week with the Lord repeating himself. Most of the time it's repeating a word or a name. And I mentioned about don't make me repeat myself. But sometimes it's not a negative thing, but it's a positive thing. Now, with Simon, he said, Simon, Simon. And we know that that was a word of caution. He was repeating himself, and his repeating himself had to do with caution with Peter. But here his repeating himself has to do with compassion. He is warning Jerusalem. He is speaking to Jerusalem. Could I remind you? Could I say it again? Repeat myself? The repetition of these words in the Bible talks about and reveals some information that has been spoken but undoubtedly has not yet been received or heard. It has to do with repetition, but it also has to do with revelation in the case of Peter, especially. He did not know what was coming up, and Jesus was saying, Peter, Peter. He was making sure that Peter was listening, or at least trying to, because of the trouble on the way. It also not only has to do with repetition and revelation, but also reflect. He says, listen to me and reflect on what I'm saying. It is as though he pauses for a second and says, think about what I'm saying because it's important to hear. And then also it deals with response. He says, I am saying something because there's something you need to respond to. It's like he's hooked up his loudspeaker and speaking through his megaphone and talking louder to where hopefully they will listen. Well, in this verse, he's speaking and he says to Jerusalem twice, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, because he cares. I believe with all my heart, as he uttered these words, he had tears in his eyes. I believe he was weeping. I believe you could hear a tremble in his voice. Not that he was like we do so many times, but he really did care. I do know in Luke 19:41, it says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. And I believe at this occasion, he was weeping over the city again. His compassion was being revealed. And the fact that he repeated himself causes us to look and to listen more intently. And he's talking here in this verse. He's sending out a warning. He is saying to Jerusalem, to those Jews, to those people, God's chosen people that he had come to and tried to preach to and tried to enlighten, and they had refused. He is warning them, could I say first? He is here warning the called. There is a warning for the called, and I mean by that what he says, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not? The indication is this is not the first time I've called you. This is not the first time I have spoken. This is not the first time you've heard this. He is saying, I am warning those who I have called before. He is speaking directly here to religious but lost people. Those who were certainly in the temple, those who certainly would claim they were believers or they would be religious or God's people, but they were religiously lost. And he was warning them, he was calling to them, and he is saying, I care for you. He cared enough to send. Look and see what he says. Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. God cared enough to send his best to these people who said no thank you. The prophets and the preachers and the people. And by the way, his own son himself was sent from heaven by the Father to come and tell them, to warn them trouble's on the way. Like that mother hen, when she sees a storm coming, she calls out to her little bitties, those little chickens, to come and hide under her wings. She is warning them about the coming trouble, the coming storm. And that's exactly what God is doing here. He is calling out to those who do not see the storm, who are in danger and don't realize it. And he says, I have cared enough to send people to you and prophets to you and preachers to you, and you've ignored them. You haven't listened. In fact, you've shunned them. You stoned them. You killed them, and you're about to put me to death. He cared enough to send. Now, he sends people, and people aren't perfect. And that's one reason the world says, I don't want to hear that. Why should I listen to these Christians? I know a Christian. I so know somebody who claims to be a Christian, and they don't live any better than I do. Why should I listen to them? Well, how about this? They're telling the truth. They're warning about the storm. They're warning about hell. They're warning about the sin. And God has sent them to people who are lost and don't realize it or don't care. And the reason he did, the reason he does, is because he loves those lost people. If you're lost this evening in this church building, God loves you. And I promise you, he probably has sent someone. By the way, here I am tonight preaching to you. He has sent people who know the Lord because he cares about you. And listen, we are flawed. We are not perfect. We mess up. We do things we shouldn't do. We don't always do things we ought to do. But that doesn't mean that the thing we're saying isn't true. Oh, he's saying to you tonight, come to me. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, come to me. I care enough to send. He cared enough. I'm talking about compassion. These repeating of the word, the name, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, shows his compassion. He's warning the called, those he's called before. He says, I care enough to send and I care enough to speak. That mama hen, what she does is let out a cackle. But it's not a normal cackle. It's not a, it's time to eat, little bitties has come. It's a cackle that's the alert. It's a cackle that's extreme. It's a cackle that's loud. It's a cackle that will get their attention. And she is calling those little bitties to come to her. Could I say it like this? She's speaking out to them and saying in a language they could understand, you better get here in a hurry. Trouble's on the way. And that's exactly what Jesus has done. That's exactly what God has done. He has sent people speaking in his name, telling people who are lost and warning them about the trouble coming. He sounds a warning. He speaks the truth. Things like this, things they don't want to hear. Now, those little bitties are out there playing in the farmyard, and they're having such a good time. And when they hear their mama call, they don't want to come. They want to keep playing. So they may ignore her for a moment. So she'll call again. That's what Jesus did. He called again. He spoke to them more than once. And what they're hearing, they don't want to hear, but they need. And that's the same way with lost people today. Somebody may come and say, have you heard about what the Bible says? Have you heard about what God says? He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, nobody wants to hear that. Like the mama's cackle that those little bitties don't want to hear, but they need to hear it because trouble's coming. And that lost person does not want to hear the truth of you're a sinner and sin brings death and there's a real hell and you need to escape it or you'll go there. They don't want to hear what the Lord's speaking, but he's speaking the truth and they need to hear it. And he loves them enough to tell them the truth. I'm talking about he's warning. There's a warning in this verse for the called. He says, I care enough to call. I care enough to send. I care enough to send. I care enough to speak. And I care enough to save. Brother Chester mentioned it. I say it quite often. When I came to Little White Baptist Church in 1975, I promise you one thing. I needed saving and I needed forgiveness, but I didn't deserve it. Most of those people in that church, I'm sure now they learned to love me somehow after I got saved. But the morning I first walked in, I know for sure they thought, who in the world is that? And why in the world is he here? Because I promise you, I did not fit into the crowd. I did not blend into the people of that church. Long hair, jeans, probably a t-shirt, that's all I had. But I know one thing. I needed the gospel. And that morning I heard the gospel, and I heard the call of the mother hen saying there's trouble on the way. And that morning when I went to that altar and fell on my face and said, Lord, I need you, you know what? He said, I know that, and I'm going to help you. And right there, instantly, he saved me, forgave me, birthed me into his family, changed my eternal destination forever. He says, I care enough to warn you. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I've called before, and I was willing to forgive. I was willing to save, but you wouldn't listen. I'm calling again. What will you do this time? His compassion is revealed in repeating his words. A warning for the called. He cared enough to send and he cared enough to speak and he cared enough to save. Now, that mama hen, when she calls out to those little bitties and they come running, she does not shun them. She does not turn herself away from them. She opens her wings wide and receives them and closes her wings down, and they're safe in the midst of the storm. She, if you will, saves them because she's the one that called and she's the one that knows the trouble and she's the only one that can save them. Hiding under a tree ain't going to be good enough. Hiding under some little boy's tricycle ain't gonna be good enough. But the mama's wings, they're sufficient to save. And that's how it is with the Lord. He is the only one sufficient. He's the only one that can save. And I say this evening, he's willing. That's why he calls. That's why he's warning. Because he wants to save. But the Lord said, ye would not. You refused. You wouldn't listen. You wouldn't hear. I'm calling again. They could have and should have come to him, and he would have saved them, but they didn't. And since they didn't, they died and went to hell as though there was no Savior. All those biddies rebel and resist their mama's call and stay out there, they'll die in the storm as though mama never called. As though mama wasn't even there. She's there, she's willing, she's able, she's calling to save them, but if they don't come, they'll perish. And so it is with every lost person on earth. Isaiah 48, verse 18 says, all that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, and then had my peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. He said, if you just listened to me, my peace would have been like a river flooding through your soul. And righteousness would be like the waves of the sea. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He says, dying lost doesn't make me happy. I don't rejoice that my holiness is satisfied. He says, it breaks my heart. He said, I called and you would not. You refused. So I ask you, what else can he do? What else can mama do? She will not force those biddies to come. She calls and offers. And what else can God do? I tell you one thing, he won't do more than he's done. His son came and died and rose again. He sends the Holy Spirit to convict. He gives the scripture as far as the world to show us the truth. And if we say no, that's up to us. He's done all that's necessary to save us, and he will not do more. And we can't accuse him if we go to hell. I say this evening, this repeating himself is a revelation of his compassion. He's warning in this verse. There's a warning for the call. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I've called you before. But there's also a warning for the Christians. Remember in this verse, he says, there's some prophets I've sent to you. And there's some people that I've sent out to you. And I believe in this verse, there's a warning to those who have been sent. There's a warning to those who witness. There's a warning to those who have told. There's a warning to those he has used to speak the truth. And I believe he's saying to those who are Christians, keep telling, keep telling, keep calling. Mama may call out and they don't listen the first time. She'll call again. And she will keep calling until they come or until it's too late. And I believe that mama might say sometimes, why in the world do the youngins not listen to me? I'll just believe I'll let them go. But inside her, there's a mama that says, I'll call again, I'll call again. I love them to stop calling. So I believe he says to us who are Christians, I love you and I want you to do right. And I want you to love those who are out there lost. I want you to love those I love. There's a warning to the called, but there's a warning to the Christians in this verse. He says, there's some I have sent. That's me and you. You may not be a prophet or a preacher, but you're sent one. He has sent us out to warn those who are lost. There's a commission involved. He said, those which I have sent, those which were sent to you. Sent to what? To tell what he said, tell. To warn them about that was coming. That's what the preachers did. That's what John the Baptist did. That's what Jesus did. That's what the Old Testament prophets did. They proclaimed trouble's on the way. And Jesus said to those who were telling, there's a commission on you. There's a call on you to tell the truth. Every believer in this building tonight has a commission from heaven to tell others about Christ. It's like a beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. That's what we're to do. We have a commission. We have a call to go and tell. The great commission we find in Matthew 28:19, which hadn't been given at this particular place, but the truth is still there. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Go and tell and reach them and then baptize them and disciple them. There's a warning for the Christians. There's a commission involved. There's a compassion involved. He's not calling out because he's mad, even though sin angers him. He's calling out because he cares. He loves them. And he's sending people because he cares. And he wants the people he's sending to care. There's a commission, but there's a compassion. Jesus said in Luke 10:2, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. He said, there's a vast harvest of souls, lost people everywhere, but very few people are working in the fields, harvesting, reaping, sowing, telling, preaching, witnessing, living right. Very few laborers. And he said, pray the Lord to send forth laborers. And entwined in that is this thought. If I ask the Lord to send somebody, sooner or later he's going to send me. In fact, he's already sent me. We are laborers. There's a compassion involved. We ought to care enough to not care if they make fun of us. To not stop if they laugh. To not stop if it gets hard. We ought to care about lost souls. How in the world do we not care about somebody lost and going to hell right around us, sometimes even in our own family? We ought to care. Jesus uttered these words because he cared. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, why don't you come to me? Why don't you come to me? I've tried and I've tried and I'm trying again. And he wants us to have that same compassion. There's a warning to the called, but there's a warning to the Christians involving a commission and a compassion, but also a commitment. That mama's committed. I'm getting them youngins here if there's any way I can. She stays committed to her call. And we need a commitment in this day like never before. Well, I tell you, I talk to preachers still, like Brother James Grant when he was alive. He used to tell me, we just go and preach. And revivals, 6 or 7 people getting saved was not unusual at all. Sometimes 3 or 4 or 10 a night. And he say, when we wouldn't preach, if somebody didn't get saved almost every single night, we'd wonder what in the world was going on. Well, that's how it used to be. But I guarantee you one thing, if you expect that now, you're going to be disappointed a lot. Well, what does that mean? We stop telling? No. We still keep calling. We still keep telling. It may be difficult. It may be difficult to go to that person you know pretty well and tell them about being saved. That family member that you know is lost. That neighbor you know that's lost. That old friend that you know that's lost. It may be difficult, but if we care enough, we'll be committed enough to do it. You may go nervous, and you probably will, but go and tell, and God will give you grace. There's a commitment involved with this compassion, this warning to the Christians. It won't be easy. There'll be times when it's difficult. There'll be times when it's dangerous. I told you not long ago about going and witnessing. Well, I want to tell you something. Humanly speaking, that is not safe. I mean, listen. Most people around there got a little iron in their pocket, if you know what I mean. A 9 or a 380 or something like that, and they would love to have a chance to pull it. So going into some situations is not safe, humanly speaking, but the God of heaven will protect us. Listen, the mama's exposed to the same storm that the chickens are, the biddies. So it's dangerous, but she keeps calling. And so should we. There's a commitment involved. Sometimes it gets difficult. Sometimes it gets dangerous. Sometimes it gets discouraging. You're telling, they don't listen. You're preaching, they don't listen. You hand out tracts and they don't take them. You're witnessing, they don't hear you. Sometimes it's discouraging. You pray for people who's lost and they don't get saved. But every once in a while, one will. And I guarantee you one thing, when that one does, it'll be worth it. I'm talking about Jesus repeats himself to show compassion. There's a warning involved. He cared enough to warn people. He warned the called and he warned the Christians. But also in these verses, there's not only a warning to the called and to the Christians, but there's a warning to the church, I believe. Look in verse 38. He's still speaking to the same people, religious people, church people, but lost. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, empty, dead, discarded, deserted. Just a few hours almost earlier in Matthew 21, a few days, I suppose, he said this, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Before this, he said, my house, God's house. But now he says to this bunch, your house. What does that mean? He's leaving. Like the glory departed off of the temple in the Old Testament. God's presence, God's power, God's work moved off slowly off the temple and left it deserted. And Jesus said, your house is left unto you deserted. Which he's saying to our day, to our crowd, to the church, you better realize how serious this is. Because you need a church. In fact, he needs a church where he's at. His power, his touch. This world doesn't need a different president. Our country doesn't need a different president, even though we need a different president. That's not going to fix things. This world doesn't need some kind of vaccination, even though it needs a vaccination. This world doesn't need a psychiatrist or a shrink, even though sometimes those are needed. What this world needs is Jesus. And the only hope of this world, the only hope of this country for sure, is for the world to hear the Lord's word through the church, through God's people. And I'm not talking about them just coming here. I'm talking about we as the church going out and reaching them. The church needs the Lord because the lost need the word. He said, there's a warning, or I say there's a warning to the church. Chapter 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. He left for the last time, and he left it behind. I promise you, the worst thing that could happen to this church has nothing to do with our finances, has nothing to do with the electricity working, has nothing to do with this building, this property, has nothing to do with our unity, even though all that's very important. What's the worst thing that can happen to this church is for God to back off. And if he backs off, we can go on and have our services, but there'll be nothing that happens. We can go ahead and play our music, sing our songs, preach our message, teach our lesson, talk and smile, but if God's not here, we're wasting our time. I say there's a warning to the church. He said, we are salt. And salt preserves. I take our trash to the dumpsters there and the dump in Thomasville. The Saturday, Friday, I don't know what day, doesn't matter. I took our trash and threw it over into the dumpster, and I went, and it never smells good, believe me. But obviously, and I said to myself, somebody threw a dead animal in there. And they allow you to do that. But the smell was worse than rotten in ham or rotten in hamburger or rotten in chicken. It was worse than this household trash. There was a stench of rotting flesh. And when I studied this message, I thought about that stench. Because something wasn't preserved. Salt preserves. And this country, this world will stink. It will rot and decay. And they'll go to hell if somebody doesn't say, I'm going to live right. And I'm going to tell people. And I'm going to give tracts. I'm going to pray for the lost. And I'm going to let my light shine. And I'm going to be part of the preservative of this world. I believe this with all my heart. The only reason our country hasn't gone down further, and she's sinking fast, by the way, but the only reason this country hasn't gone down further is because of God's people in God's church who are still living right. There's enough salt so far where God's held back his judgment, at least partially. He hasn't done like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah and said, go ahead. What did he say to Abraham? You can find 10, but there wasn't enough salt. You are, I am, this church is the salt that's going to help this country, this world survive. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He says, I'll repeat myself because I want to get your attention. Let's stand together.